Welcome to the University of Manitoba's Icelandic Radio Journal, a continuing series of shorts documenting interviews and fragments that highlight Icelandic culture in Winnipeg. This special radio journal series was created in commemoration of the 60th anniversary of the establishment of the chair of the Icelandic department at the University of Manitoba. This edition features part one of a talk given by Icelandic writer and translator Guðbergur Bergsson, entitled Exiles, which was presented in the Icelandic collection at the University of Manitoba in September 2011.
On behalf of the Department of Icelandic Language and Literature, it is an honor and a great pleasure to introduce to you tonight's speaker. Guðbergur Bergsson is a key writer of Icelandic literature, born in Grindavík, Florence of the North, as we call it, on the southwest coast of Iceland. He received a teaching diploma from the Icelandic University of Education and a degree in literature and art history from the University of Barcelona. His modernist novel, Tómas Jónsson Metsölubók, Tómas Jónsson bestseller, was a cultural breakthrough in Icelandic literature. And his novel, Svanurinn, The Swan, secured in some people's minds Guðbergur's place among major European writers. A prolific novelist, poet, critic, and editor, Guðbergur's books have been translated into many languages. He is also an acclaimed translator, enriching Icelandic culture with timeless masterpieces by Spanish, Portuguese, and Latin American writers, including Don Quixote by Cervantes. Guðbergur has been awarded several major prizes, including the Icelandic Literature Prize twice and the Nordic Prize of the Swedish Academy in 2004. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Guðbergur.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are the exiles of this world, exodus, confusion. One's life is a constant exile. We are immigrants, always a mixture of these two elements, immigration and exile. We are the floating mankind drifting into the unknown. This is the condition of humanity. Since we were born, life is a succession of constant different kind of exiles and immigrations. And the world we live in has more and more societies that have been thrown into exile and immigration, both individuals and groups looking for something not foreseen, possibly happiness, wandering through an aim, and many people do not even think of having future. They just want to survive in one way or another. And most people in better situation do not think about anything but, will I lose my money? Who knows if something in the future happens to the bank during the crisis which is supposed to come, I probably will lose it all, have to immigrate or die in poverty. People are, due to the universal confusion, more worried about the health of the financial system than their own and their children. Our main concern is to rescue the banks. All our thoughts are related to the global financial health in the world, and if we come together, we ask, how is your bank going this morning? What is new about the stock exchange? We have no longer any spiritual faith, no intellectual theories that concern the eternity. We just chatter. We have no serious political ideology. We just serve, and whole nations are willing to throw themselves easily into the everlasting gap between the jaws of the monster we have cultivated, the exile of everything which is humanistic and social ethics. At the same time, we hate our deplorable condition as much as we desire them as victims. It is as if we just want to go to permanent hell. This is our downfall. We cannot help it, but sometimes a touch of consciousness is spying on us and asking, could possibly be the reason for all this that after the Second World War, we sacrificed easily our national identity on the altar of some kind of mental immigration in order to believe in a new upcoming world power. Its system, the domination of the market and constant economical growth. And now we might fall into the chaos in company with the God that failed, the United States of America, the country which did not only win the Second World War, but in a way, the half-paralyzed world. And is that the explanation why our savior and destructor is now almost running out of breath and his identification? Damaged but not dead system, he pretends everything is still going strong, using loud optimism and publicity. Will our Savior fall away and we with him during our last prayer to the so-called global police? The United States is a country which has turned into an afternoon beggar in the twilight, trying to hide all its troubles away. It is nothing new that world powers in free fall are unwilling to face facts of the existence of their purgatory and hell. Police in general behave that way. But the time is out for the messianic imperial police, more or less the same way as all empire have when their moment came. They fall and leave behind social, cultural, and economical chaos. There is no general escape from the trash except entering an exile. Still for a while, we, the individuals, try to organize our life in one way or another, while the world becomes like an enormous frozen lake. We will be watching the moon shining on its surface, our face paralyzed and our head not knowing what to do. But then we discover we have still something in there besides hands and feet, and the fact that having a head, hands, and feet is a gift to be used during the time to come. As long as we have head, feet and hands, we can think, work and walk away, having no desire to enter a personal or social death. Of course, we will not be drowned neither in the frozen lake nor the repeated dirty water of the world powers. There is still a hope in the small town. Man is but a poor result of his final first exile, the mystic one, the biblical exile which was to define all later exiles. People that belong to Christianity pretend to know they can trace humanity to something immortal, the original sin, when Adam and Eve were accused of becoming dirty-minded in middle of all the purity in paradise. Results of that, they've lost all free luxury and were thrown naked and without money out of the garden to fend for their living, work for their bread. At that moment, they could begin to have descendants, at least sons, which was not a blessing, and after that, the unlucky couple became in the mind of their descendants a symbol of people who lived in luxury but lost everything because of their lust, their greed, the unstable flesh, which inevitably leads to corruption and poverty. That behavior of Adam and Eve is said to be the first downfall in the history of mankind and the beginning of the need for economy and money, the fundamental interrelated basic to create stability for the family and to prevent economical crashes in the community. Possibly in our understanding now, one could not call Adam and Eve persons, but they became progenitors and both had human body made of flesh, which God must have separated from his immaterial spirit. He made man as a single thing which could be touched by human hands. He created a body, and the soul belongs to the flesh and has no other existence. Thus, man is a perfect unification of the material and the immaterial, composed in such a way that the result can stand upright and run around, sometimes full of generosity, but sometimes so greedy that it attacks other similar things, or he tries to evade hard attacks from brothers and often has to flee and immigrate. Man is a result of separation from a global immaterial God, then the only universal power, and after that he belongs to the human species, which sprang from holy anger, awakened in a garden of harmony, the utopia, the cornucopia, the territory of universal peace, but for strange and not altogether explained reason, all this luxury led God's creation from harmony and wealth into universal disaster and exile. Adam and Eve were the first exiles thrown out from global happiness in Garden of Dream, and after that we have always been trying to enter again that ideal territory. Later problems have their origin in the idea and desire of the first well-being where there was no need for carnal love. All that harmony had not been found here on earth, but after death we have been promised happy end, living in paradise of no problems, a place where there are no banks, no money neither to lose nor gain, no stock exchange, no shops with departments for men and women, no IKEA will be there, nor motherly need to buy pink clothes for children, all dressed in the same egalitarian way, angels in pink, pink from head to foot, like Barbara Cartland in her pink, always looking young in her old age, waiting, writing love stories at the verge of the grave, almost 100 years old. The last symbol of the lovely and polite British Empire, which now has become nothing more than two simple letters, UK. We cannot live all of our life in the harmony of a correct love story of Barbara Cartland. In early age, we begin to go astray and leave what is called the correct path, and then we lose the habits of flawless good behavior. Wrongdoing is inevitable, and most things in life. It springs from the necessity to liberate oneself in order to try to find oneself. This kind of need is to lose one's way is not inflicted on us, but rather something that like homemade exile. We like to get into trouble. It is really a challenge, as educated people say. To impede possible trouble, we are not willing to look far into the future and see the possible bad results. We just walk on and on, thinking that with each step we make our special way a personal road into a happy liberation from our homeland and its dusty path. This inclination is to be found in most of us, but could hardly be classified a need for a revolution, not even a rebellion, at least not the natural one, as when children demonstrate their growing will against their parents and the environment they live in. They are just unconsciously becoming adults, going seriously away and entering confusion begins later in their life. Usually it shows up when we are already full grown and think we are mature. Then confusion bursts out and becomes clear to all those who dare to see what they see. We are in trouble. This could lead to an auto-exile. We realize on the middle of the road how life can become monotonous, always the same habits, the common behavior. It looks like the frozen moral lake of middle-aged people. We try to break all bridges and free us from the yokes. We want to escape fate. We want to run around in the wilderness, be rid of that which cannot be escaped. We are simply getting old and entering similar way as outrunning social and political systems. Neither we nor the systems are in harmony with the situation. Deep down we know our flight is impossible. We are just entering the final exile, but still each of us intends to hide away, finding a convenient path. One fakes and pretends that it will be the path of our own. And then all of a sudden, the surprise, we realize we have only entered a dark forest similar to the one Dante describes when he went astray. That forest was a dark forest full of horror, and therefore he begins his Divina Commedia this way. Nel mezzo del cammin di nostra vita mi ritrovai per una selva oscura che la diritta via era smarrita. At this historical moment, same thing happens to nations and all countries in all continents. They have lost their diritta via, the right way, and consequently entered the dark wood. Whole nations have become ohne mich, without myself, as young German used to say days past. It was in the 60s when they called themselves ohne mich. It was their deplorable state of young mind. They felt being exiled both socially and in their body. The rulers of the land and the Cold War had stolen their inner life, their identity, and replaced it with life based on the power of what could be called the public show. This feeling was strong among young people in those days. It was a widespread sensation of loss of inner life, achieving instead an internal exile, being a stranger in one's country. Among people in dictatorial countries, this phenomenon had been quite common, but then it had spread to other youngsters when this came together, the Cold War and the paradise of consumption in democratic Western society. It was as if working and buying were the final aim of capitalistic well-being. I am without myself. I am exiled, and I am living in exile in my homeland. It is as if it had become an unfamiliar, strange, foreign country placed in middle of the wilderness of excess, far from natural, simple, making and need of the human being. Was this the result of the general USA syndrome all over Europe, but especially in Germany? Gradually, during the last century, nations and their inhabitants had lost la diritta via, which the triumphant capitalism and the militant so-called scientific communism had promised the world. There was no illuminated path. Both ideologies were somehow materialistic religions based on less leisure and more buying power. You will be happy making money if you just allow the money to make more and still more money, creating wealth of the nation. The two systems believed in endless growth and productivity, which would lead mankind on a direct footpath to paradise. There would not be any returned Eve, middle-aged, gray-haired, and just divorced from Adam, but a still young woman more beautiful than Beatrice Dante was looking for in his Divina Commedia. He never found her in flesh. She was but an illusion, a beautiful shadow, untouchable as the rainbow. The same thing happened to us. And therefore, we, the disappointed visionaries of impossible illusions, can observe with half-blind eyes what happened around us in the world. It is becoming, if not a global hell, a disaster based on absurd monetary systems which curiously fail except in the militant communist China. That upcoming world power and slowly sending both us and the International Monetary Fund into a purgatory. We already see what awaits us, the same good old straight jacket for global use, already worn out by Western capitalism. But possibly during this new century, the free world can escape dressed in surrealistic cut garment. If we put the jacket on, they say we will find peace, love, and paradise, similar to the one in Dante's Divina Commedia. Now the new power tries to preach the same way as the fallen protagonist in the deeply thought educational play of the Middle Age. We are in the exemplary universal theater with a cast of different actors, politicians, and powerful men. But we know them all. All of them are among us, the same as in old time of Dante, and they have not changed a lot.